It's October 26th, 2014, Kartik classes, the glorious sevas of Srimati Radharani. Vande Guru Paradvandvam Bhakta Vrinda Samanvitam Sri Chaitanya Prabham Vande Nityananda Sahoditam Shri Nanda Nandanam Vande Radhika Charanadvayam Gopijana Samayuktam Vrindavana Manoharam Amala Kamala Raji Sparshi Vata Prashite Nija Sarasini Dage Sayamulasaniyam Parijana Gana Yukta Kridiyanti Bakarim Snapayati Nijadase Radhikamam Kadanu. We're discussing from Vilapkusamanjali, text 68, we started yesterday. And in this verse, just to remind everyone, it was describing, there's a few people involved, a few personalities. There's Rupa Manjari, and there's Tulsi Manjari, or Rati Manjari, Raghunath Das, and there's Srimati Radharani. And there's Sri Krishna. The Vibhav Alamban Ashray and Vibhav Alamban Vishay, Radha and Krishna, the hero and the heroine, Nayaka and Nayaka. So, yesterday we heard this verse is describing one type of seva that the mantris have in the 16 sevas, and it's called Abhisarika. Abhisarika, or Abhisar Seva. And it's a very tender scene that was described by this verse. Very sweet, very intimate, very. It shows the beautiful levels of relationships of love between Krishna and his associates. And part of the verse, it shows actually the whole tenor of the verse, the whole tenor of verse 68 is seva. Krishna is serving his devotees, the devotees serving him. And this is the very first verse which opens the description of the Madhyan Leela at Radhakund from 10:48 in the morning until 3:36 in the afternoon. It's called Madhyan Yam. This is the first verse. So, of course, obvious beginning would be that Abhisar means love journey. Radharani goes to meet Krishna in the Kunj at Radhakund. So now the scene, which we left off yesterday, to repeat the verse, he's saying, Ha rupa mandri sakhi pranayena devim tod baho dakta bujavalarim ayatakshim paschadaham kalita kama tarangarangam neshyami kim hari vibhushita kele kunjam. Well, there's different levels in the verse. The first obvious level is the description of Leela. So that's the Atma Vichara. What is the Leela here? And then that's the Daivik Vichara. Then the Adiyatma Vichara, the consideration of the individual, the devotee, the sadhaka. It's a verse that describes a Leela, but within that verse there's also a prayer to serve Krishna and Radha in that Leela. So the ending is like this. He says, Ha Rupa Manjari, and he says, Kim Neshami Kim Hari Vibhushita Kele Kunjam. He's seeing all this in his meditation, and then he's thinking, oh, when will I, Kim, or Kabe, or Kab, when will I get a chance to serve in this beautiful Leela? So he gives us this beautiful vision of a moment in the life of Radharani. And it's a very characteristic pastime of Radharani proceeding from Yavat or Varsana on the footpaths of Vrindavan to meet Krishna in various Sanket Kunjas. Sanket means appointed, prearranged meeting place, the meeting place. So Radharani runs off to some Kunjas or runs off to Govardhan. Here she's coming to Radhakund. And Krishna is already there. So on one side, the verse is saying, oh, Rupa Manjari. Remember, this is Rupa Raghunatha Padi. Ivy Akati, that Rupa and Raghunath are practically inseparable. They're the two chief Manjaris, and they're two chief devotees in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, Rupa Goswami Pad and Raghunath Das Goswami Pad. So he's in a mood of subservience, although they're co-servitors to Radharani and Krishna, but in a mood of natural subservience to Rupa, who is the Mukhya Manjari, the leader of all the Sakhi Manjaris in service of Radharani. So she says, "Oh, Rupa Manjari, when will I walk behind you as you lovingly take wide-eyed Radharani, Ayata Akshim, Radhika, who is moved by waves of desire to the play grove, which is the Kunja, Kali Kunj, that is decorated by Sri Hari as she holds her vine-like arm in yours." So this is to repeat the verse and try to capture this. If you saw a painting of this, it would be a lot easier. But the art of reading Shastra and the art of entering into Shastra and remembering Shastra is to take the words and make pictures. As we said, a picture is worth 1,000 words. So if we saw the picture of this particular scene of Radharani walking, and then on her left hand, on Radharani's left hand side, Radharani's left arm is entwined with the right arm of Rupa Manjari, and walking behind Radharani, directly behind Radharani, is Rati Manjari or Tulsi Manjari Das Goswami. And we explained yesterday, why is Radharani holding the arm of her beloved Manjari Rupa? Because of her, it says Kama Taranga Rangam. If you go to the ocean, some people go to Jagannath Puri and they go swimming. And we often have gone there on yatras, and many housewives, they go enter the water, and they're not so comfortable in the water, or so happy. So they all stand there and up to their knees, and they all link their arms together for support and strength, so that neither one of them totters or falls when the waves maybe wash over them. United we stand, divided we fall. So whereas the men are frolicking here and there, a little bit more fearless, maybe more experienced probably than anything else, because women can certainly ride the waves and surf and all these things, no doubt. In the West they do it. But at least in India, I've seen. So that you hold on to the arm of a friend so you don't fall for support. In this case, it's not only physical support because she's running down the path, but also for moral support because she's tottering in the intoxication of love's anticipation. Radharani is tottering in the anticipation and the excitement of love's anticipation. So she's, "Oh, I'm going to meet Krishna." It's like someone's excited, they're going to meet someone, they may bump their car into someone or whatever. They're a little absent-minded because their mind is preoccupied with the next thing they're going to do, and they may bump here and there. So she's there, and then it's described that Rati Manjari, Tulsi Manjari, she's walking behind for the same purpose, as I mentioned yesterday, in case Radharani, she goes from side to side, then Rupa Manjari is there to support her and hold her upright. But by chance she wheels backwards, oh, then right behind her, whether she goes forward or back, right behind her is this Rati Manjari. So that's the scene to try to capture in the eye. It's a very much girlfriends loving each other, girlfriends supporting each other, girlfriends helping each other. It's a type of, it's a vyavachari, it's a sanchari, it's a wave. They're showing sisterly love, the love of one sister to another, in the context of their deeper, permanent loving emotion towards Krishna, which is Madhura Rati. They're all in a mood of conjugal love towards Krishna, and either directly offering their bodies for Krishna's pleasure and divine dalliance, love dalliance, as in the case of the Sakhis, or offering their bodies directly in the service of Radha and Krishna's Shringar Ras. So therefore the Sakhis, the five types of Sakhis, and Radharani's Manjaris, they're one of the types of Sakhis, they're on Madhur Rati. But this moment, that permanent ocean of their loving relationship with Krishna There's five oceans you can swim in. You have to swim. You can swim in the ocean of Dasyarathi and be Krishna's eternal servant, like Hanuman is Dasyarathi Hanuman Ki Jai. He's permanently in that mood of servitude, and then you could be in the mood of parental mood, like the guru, like this. Who's the guru of Ram? I forget. Vashishta. Vashishta Muni, his mood is like, Ram is my child, he's my pupil, my student. Like Dasarath and Kaushalya, they're in Vatsalya, motherly love. That's the ocean of their emotion, permanent emotion. It's like that. So now, this is just a review. Now we can, and we cited some pastimes. And the other point I said, how this verse is showing the mood of seva. The two mandris are very attentively and carefully and lovingly and personally serving Radharani as she's going on Abhisara. And that's on one side. So the one camera is, you know, on the pathway, and coming down the pathway is Radharani, and right next to her is Rupa Mandri, and behind her is Rati Mandri and other Sakis around. The next camera is on the, okay, where's she going? Well, she's going to this place, which is the Keli Kunj in Radhakund. And who's there and what's going on there? So that's one scene. The action in a scene or setting with Radharani, the Nayaka. Now let's go see, what is the Nayak doing? Well, the Nayaka is on her way, on her love journey, and experiencing her particular emotions of anticipation and happiness. How is the Nayak, or the hero, dear Lalita Krishna, how is he, what is he doing? Is he just sitting there looking at his cell phone, playing games on his cell phone? What's he doing? Is he just looking at the birds? No, he's in the Keli Kunj. Is he just sitting, waiting for his beloved to arrive there, his Priyaji Radha? No, he's doing seva. So the key word here is no one's idle in the spiritual world. No one's kicking back, as they say in America. Oh, what are you doing? I'm just kicking back and enjoying. I'm not working right now, and I'm just relaxing, kicking back. So no one is laying back, or he's laid back, or whatever. Everyone is engaged. So here, the Supreme Personality of God, Purushottam Sri Krishna, Lila Purushottam, the Supreme Purusha, the Uttam of all Purushas, the Supreme Enjoyer, he's serving. He's a das, he's a kinkara of Radharani. He's a servant of Radharani. What's he doing? He's decorating the kunj. He's trying to make it look very beautiful. And that point is being mentioned in the shloka itself. He says, Hari Vibhushita Keli Kunjam. The Keli Kunj, that kunja, that forest grove, which is a place for Keli, or pastimes. Pastimes in this case of Rati Keli, or intimate exchanges. He's doing Vibhushita. Vibhushita means ornamentation, decoration. And Bhushan, or Bhushita, means to decorate and ornament. But V means excessively so. He's really into decorating the kunja. As I mentioned yesterday, Krishna was stringing long flower garlands to hang over the entrance as a makeshift flower garland door, as some people have in their apartments, separating maybe a living room from a dining room. Sometimes they have a curtain. There's no formal door, or they just have a curtain with strings of beads or pearls hanging down, and you go like this and walk through the room. That's a design. So the entrance to Krishna's kunja is Krishna's personally stringing mogra flowers, or what we call mogra jasmine. And then he's like, this is when we have flower bungalows, Bunki Bihari or other deities, whole altars, all these flowers of mogra, these white fragrant flowers in May and June, very fragrant. So he's decorating like that. So when Radharani just approaches the kunja, the Keli Kunj, oh, it smells so good. Because there's a whole science now in the healing industry called aromatherapy. Aromatherapy. And the smell of sandalwood is good to relax your nerves, and the smell of a fresh cut lemon is good to give you good spirits. And they have all these essential oils, and you sprinkle them on your candle and make your atmosphere. You must have heard aromatherapy. It's very common in the New Age circles. But it's not very New Age. That's 5,000 years ago. Vrindavan is a place of fragrances, sugandhi. And so Krishna's understanding that principle very well. That's like you read in a Krishna book when Krishna went to visit Kubja in Mathura, Trivakra. And her apartment to receive Krishna was all, incense was burning, there were flower vases everywhere, there was all kinds of beautiful aromas and pictures and whatnot, and bright colors to evoke and to excite Krishna's interest in romantic affairs. So that's described right in the Bhagavatam. So Krishna is being received that way and treated that way. A whole ambience was created. So now Krishna is on the receiving end. Like we have in front of our house a mat, a welcome mat, and it says Swagatam. Swagatam, Swagatam. Welcome, welcome. Not us, but people do. and so in the West it says welcome, and then you wipe your feet on the mat. Welcome. In India it says Swagatam. Swagatam. So usually when they have Bhagavat Saptahas, the Pracharak, he sings a song, Swagatam Krishna, Swagatam. Welcome, here comes Krishna, welcome Krishna, Swagatam. But in this case, in the Nikunja Leela of Radha and Krishna and Radhakund, Krishna is standing at the door, Swagatam Radhe, Swagatam Radhe, Swagatam Radhe, Swagatam Radhe. And then she's coming, that's Shyam's voice. He's calling me. Welcome, welcome. Then as she approaches the entrance gate, these vertical garlands, this is vertical, right? They're hanging like this, 3 feet across or 2.5 feet, whatever. It's usually a very small, narrow door to a kunja. So sometimes it's bamboo like this with flowers woven in, with a little door, a little window in it. Many kinds of doors to the kunjas. And so this one is just like this. You can kind of see through, but not really. Then you go, I'm here. When you make your grand entrance, you put your hands like this, or the person on the other side goes like that. Very fragrant and very attractive. What to speak of, Radharani can understand there's some mystery here in this doorway. Not only is it fragrant by the mogra flowers, but it's fragrant from the touch of Krishna's hands, because he made the garlands with his hands. So as the fragrance of your body lingers on your clothes, and a very obvious mundane experience we've all had, that the sorab, or fragrance of your mundane body, will be lingering on your clothes. If you have all kinds of oils and maha oils in your ears and a pack of incense in your pocket, when you take it out, your whole clothing will smell like agarbatti or perfume. So in the same way, when Krishna's body has different aromas, natural fragrances emanating from it, musk, kasturi, aguru, and chandan or sandalwood, and kapoor or camphor, these four. So when he touches anything or embraces anyone, or his presence is there, if he's in the vicinity, people, smells something very, very fragrant, very, very attractive. Well, it's not you. It's not you, my friend next to me. It must be Krishna. So when Radharani approached the door, then she smelled the fragrance of the mogra jasmine flowers and Krishna's natural fragrance of his hands. So this is, again, an udipan, a stimulant to her love, fragrance. This is called udipan, the fragrance of the beloved, hearing the beloved's flute, hearing the beloved's voice, seeing a picture. These are reminders which excite or move or accelerate the already existing permanent attraction and permanent loving mood in the heart of the beloved. It's called stahirati, stahirati. So that's Haribhushita Keli Kunjam. Now, why is Krishna decorating the kunja like this? Because he's very, very eager to meet Radharani. So as I mentioned, to even understand that he was there waiting for her, Krishna sent his messenger in form of his flute playing. And Radharani became impatient. We heard that yesterday. So now there's one phrase that says, Kama Taranga Rangam. So Tarangam, everyone knows, Taranga means waves. So if you're in the ocean and the wave, you can ride, you can move very fast if there's a wave behind you. It's called surfing, riding the surf, or you catch the wave on your surfboard or by body surfing. And then with that Taranga, then you move very fast. So here at Ratimandri, Raghunath Das Goswami is saying, Paschadaham Kalita, Kamataranga Rangam, Kamataranga Rangam. Radharani is going on a delightful wave, Ranga. Ranga means delight. She's moving very fast on a delightful wave of desire. Radharani is being propelled along the path on her Abhisara, her journey of love to meet her beloved Shamsundar. Sri Krishna, what is moving her is the Kama Taranga. This is a very Ranga, the delightful wave of desire to meet Krishna and a desire to please Krishna. You know what this means? This means Seva Utsaha. Seva Utsaha and Upadeshamrita. Every bhakta, this is a principle of devotion from the bhakta, from Krishna Das to Krishna Dasi, to Radha, Radharani and Krishna themselves. Utsaha nishayat dharyat. And Rupa Goswami Pad's Upadeshamrita. Devotion is based on enthusiasm. Utsaha nishayat, steadiness, and dharyat, patience. And confidence, the whole verse is there, confidence and faith, etc. So here, this taranga, this wave, she's moving, she's practically skipping and running down the path. For what? For seva. Because kama taranga ranga means her, the delightful wave of desire to serve Krishna in an erotic way. It's called Sringharati. But that's her service, that's Radharani's service. That distinguishes the Sakis and Madhuryarati from other devotees. They offer everything they have, mantan, dan, Krishna samarpan. Their full bodies, minds, words, everything. Whereas others, there's a line that they draw. Yashoda offers everything, but not her body to Krishna. The Gopas offer everything, and they wrestle with him, but they don't offer their body in that way. So that's the distinguishing characteristic of Madhurarati, that the lover, Radharani and Sakis, they offer their everything to Krishna. So this kama, in this case, means desire, the delightful wave of desire to serve Krishna. And we should all move on that wave, the seva taranga ranga. Seva, because kama here means seva, Sringharati, that's her seva. So our seva may be to offer arti, or to do kirtan, or to dance, or to sew, or make garlands, or whatever, maintain our family, our children, whatever, as devotees. So then we can also, we move, it should be a delightful wave. Not like, oh no, I do this service, drudgery, the hackneyed day-to-day work. Because everything becomes boring and hackneyed and stale when you lose sight of Krishna. Because if anything has connection with Krishna, it will become blissful. So when your consciousness is connected with Krishna, then your activities are blissful. Whatever it is, taking care of your children, giving your daughter a ride to her dance class in the car, then coming back an hour later to pick her up. It seems mundane, you do it 3 times a week. But if you think, oh, my daughter, she's learning Bharatanatyam, or she's learning to dance, and she'll dance for Krishna, or she's Krishna's devotee. It's all consciousness. So when the consciousness is near Krishna, then the consciousness is full of anandachit. It's called anandachit. Because when your body is next to a fire, what happens to your body? It becomes warm. There's a fire burning, a big fire with so many logs, lakri fire. You stand near it, it's very warm. You stand far away, 50 feet, it's not so warm. Maybe even be cold. So when you're near Krishna, he is Krishna, Anand, he is blissful. That's why we have a phrase, seva is bliss, karma is work. Karma is called work, seva is bliss. Blissful movement. Seva means blissful movement for the pleasure of God. Karma means work for the maintenance of your body and desires. Isn't it? Karma means work for the maintenance and fulfillment of your material needs and bodily needs, but seva is. So therefore, Kama Taranga Ranga, Ranga means delight and joy. She's just propelled that way. And that's just completely pure love. And then another thing we mentioned was an anubhav of her Madhur Rati, her Stai Rati, an anubhav. As she's running down the path, she's thinking, oh, I'm going to meet Krishna. Just like if someone is anticipating or about to do something that they really like to do, they won't say, oh, I'm going to the gym to work out. But if something they like to do, I'm going to this dance, or I'm going to Kirtan, I'm going to Rath Yatra, I have a ticket, I'm going to Vrindavan for Kartik, then your face is lit up and your eyes are, because you say, oh, you know, I'll get away from my mother for a month and I'll live in Kartik in my flat and just, you know, get up when I want, sleep when I want, whatever, different ideas. So then your face is flushed with excitement and your eyes are even, oh yeah. And then the mother can easily say, oh, you seem so excited. You fell in love? What happened? And it's the young parents, it's very easy to see an obvious change in the countenance of their son or daughter when they become aware of or attracted to a member of the opposite gender. It's very clear. And in a private way, the mother might say, do you have a boyfriend? Oh no, mom, why do you ask? I can see, because there's a certain glow comes, a certain look comes, and everyone knows the feeling. And you have the feeling, and you think you're guarding your look, but you can't guard the look, because the face is the index of the feeling. Because the mind's function is thinking, feeling, and willing. So mind, senses, body, heart, they're all one integrated unit, connected. Happy mind means happy body, etc. So the word he uses is ayatakshim. Aksha means eyes. Oman gana tilarandasya ganan gana shalakaya chakshur, chakshur unmilitam. That guru opens my eyes, my chakshush. So it says that, why her eyes? Because she has strong desire to meet Krishna. It's like Prabhupada, you see his lectures we said the other day when he's preaching, he is very much ayatakshim. Ayatakshim. He was so excited and full of enthusiasm to encourage people to surrender to Krishna and preach the glories of Krishna, Krishna consciousness. So sometimes his eyes become very big. So, Krishna consciousness. And they take a picture at that moment, and everyone must have seen these pictures of Prabhupada's eyes, like this. It's called Utfula Akshi, in fully blossoming eyes, because he was experiencing Krishna's presence, moving his heart and moving his words. So then, this word he uses here also, he's saying Kim, which again I mentioned yesterday, he's saying, when will I see all this? I saw this in meditation, and I'm meditating like this, but then I came out to external consciousness from Antardasha. Internal consciousness, I came to Baya Dasha, the state or Dasha, position of external consciousness. And I lost that sporti, I lost that vision of seeing that beautiful pastime. And I was there, I had meditated like that, and I entered there, Lila Pravesh, from Seva in my Siddha Sharir, my Siddha Sarup as a Sakhi Manjari. And I was assisting Radharani in her Avisar, one of the most beautiful pastimes of Radha and Krishna is the Avisar, which Chandidas describes in some beautiful bhajans, Avisar. It's because in Madhurati, the heroine has 8 expressions of bhav. It's called Avisarika bhav, Utkantita bhav. There's 8 types of, this is in Rasa Shastra, Bart Muni's Natya Shastra. When you discuss drama, Natya and drama, and hero and heroines, Nayaka, Nayaka, There's exchanges and actions, and they produce rasa. That's called prakriti ras, the material mundane experience of ras, pathos and crying, joy and sorrow and thrill and anticipation and ghastliness and fear and amazement. These are all emotions that arise in the context of dealings in human life and also depicted on the stage and in the cinema. So there are eight types of this, what they call nayaka bhav or sakhi bhav. So one is abhisarika bhav. That certain mood, oh, I'm going to meet my beloved. After so long, after such long separation, I saw him in Suryakunda at 3:36 in the afternoon or so. And then I'm meeting him again at 10:30 at night, 11 o'clock at night, 8 hours later. So long separation, Radharani's feeling. So she's so excited and anticipating. And so this is not only a bhav, but it's also a seva, abhisara seva, to assist and bring the lovers together, to arrange for the meeting of Radha and Krishna. It's one of the 16 different services that the Sakhi Mandris render. So he's feeling, from the level of a sadhaka, he's saying he has eagerness, because he's using this word kim or kabe. That word implies a sense of eagerness. For example, there's that bhajan there's a Shikshastakam, verse 6. Nayanam galal ashradarya, varanam gadgara urdaya gira, pulakar nichitam bahu kada, tavanamagrahani vavishyati. Very common, everyone knows that Shikshastakam. Mahaprabhu is saying, kada, when? When will this happen? When will I chant the holy name of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, in pure love, in bhav? And when I'm chanting at the level of bhav, then nayanam galat ashudharya, then my eyes will fill with tears, I'll tremble, my hair will stand on end. There's eight symptoms of sattvic vikars, or transformations in love of God. But at least these are very beginning ones. But when will this happen? When will I come to that exalted state of pure feelings? When will I come to that state of actual blossoming of divine love for the Lord? And as a result of that blossoming in my heart and softening and melting of my heart, the chitta masrinya, in Rupa Goswami he explains the symptoms of bhava. Chitta masrinya means the consciousness, the mind, heart melts, actually becomes very soft, and so he can experience the love of Krishna. So here, when Mahaprabhu is saying that, there's eagerness there. So this is part of sadhana, this eagerness to advance, eagerness to progress, and we should never be complacent. So these words that are sprinkled here and there in different shlokas and bhajans, kabe habe bolo sedin amar, kabe bolo sedin amar, aparada guchi shuddha nama ruchi. It's a very popular song, Bengali song, of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's in the ISKCON Vaishnava songbook. Aparat says, Kabe habe bolo seidin amar. That's Bengali, very similar to Hindi. He says, when will that day come? When? I'm eagerly waiting. I'm eagerly anticipating it. I'm eager for this. I want this to happen very much. I want it to happen very fast. When will that day come when I stop making nama parad? There's no answer to that question. It's one of those questions that you'll find the answer after 10 lifetimes. Oh, yeah, now. When will I start making nama parad? Aparada guchi, shuddha nama ruchi. Then shuddha nama will arise. Because as that song is indicating, there's basically two states of chanting, aparat and shuddha nama. This is what most of our acharyas say. The idea of the intermediate stage is just to give some approximation, but it's not. There's no clearly described intermediate stage. It's either you're making aparat or you're not. It's clear. And then when you stop making aparat, that's called shuddha nama, and then that develops and reveal different experiences. If you want to equate that with some level of advancement, you could say the threshold of Shuddhanam is Ruchi. When one is experiencing Ruchi in Krishna consciousness, which is not a very small thing, that we could say that. Otherwise, Anartha Nivritti, Anishta, there's much less anarthas. In Madhurya Kandambini, Vishnu Chakravarti says anarthas and the fragrance of anarthas and the possibility of obstacles and impediments continues all the way to bhava, the beginning of bhava. Then later, in the later stages of bhava bhakti, when one has spurti and darshan of Krishna and full revelation of his own siddhasarup, then he's pretty fixed with not even a fragrance or a tendency to succumb to impediments or obstacles. So rest assured, most everyone's making Nama Bharat. And the only solution is to keep chanting, of course. So eagerness, so we're eager, that is that Bhajan Dvai Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, when, Sri Nam Prabhu, when will that day come? When will I stop making offenses and chant your pure name? In this chanting, there's only two choices, Aparad or Shuddhanam. So then, that indicates his eagerness. So here he's saying, Kim, when will I see this? He says, when can I walk behind you when you're loving? Kim, here Kim in Bengali has one meaning as whether or when. When will I walk behind you and render that service? In other words, when will I get the chance to do this service? So this idea of eagerness and bhajan, eagerness in our practice, is very important. This is a basic example. We should be eager. When will I chant? The holy name is so pure and so full of vras and so full of bhav. It's Krishna Sarup, Radha Sarup. All leelas there and all wonderful, divine, majestic and sweet pastimes are in the holy name of the Lord, the Radha Krishna Yuga Mahamantra. Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Radha Krishna Yuga Mahamantra. But where are they? Where is Nam and where am I? Where is Shuddhanam and where am I? Oh, Nam Kripa Karo, Nam Kripa Karo. Oh, Nam Prabhu. And there's so many prayers to the holy name by Rupa Goswami and Narottam Das Thakur and Bhaktivinoda. Everywhere there's prayers. Eagerly, those prayers are full of eagerness and begging for mercy from the holy name. So here it's on a little higher level. He's not just dealing with chanting Shuddhanam and avoiding Aparad. He's eager to render his eternal service to Swamini Radha in the spiritual world as Rati Manjari, Tulsi Manjari. So he says, unless we have eagerness to attain the goal, that utsaha is enthusiasm, and then there's another word called utkantita. Utkantita means eagerness. So oftentimes, utsaha is, in our nectar of instruction, is translated as enthusiasm. But there's a very thin line between eagerness and enthusiasm. They're very similar, basically. So enthusiasm means steady efforts, and steady, happy, joyful, positive thinking. They have this term, positive thinking, intense endeavor performed in a joyful way with a positive attitude. We could say that's enthusiasm. Then utkantita, adding this principle of utkantita, eagerness, means that I'm positively thinking about the prospects. I'm enthused and excited about the limbs of devotion. I'm enthused and excited and performing with great energy and great output my service to my guru and Krishna. At the same time, and I'm eager, I'm doing that service because I'm eager to advance. Prabhupada said it's impossible to make progress in bhakti unless you really desire to attain love of God. You have to be eager to attain bhava. There's no question of ever coming anywhere near bhava unless you want to. You want to be a lover of Krishna. You want to be a bhava bhakta and a premi bhakta. Like the Brijvasis, they're the ideal exemplars of premi bhakta, premi bhakti, prema bhakti. the gopis and Nanda Yashoda, Subal, Sri Ram, etc. So this is the principle that's also being presented in this verse, which is the adhyatmik vichar, the consideration from our viewpoint of us, the self, me, the observer, the reader, who's trying to understand the Shastra. It has its own level, the Daivik, Divya, transcendental level of the eternal Parishas and associates of the Lord, Rupa Mandri and Tulsi Mandri and Radharani and Krishna, and it's Leela, and it's an Abhisar Leela. So that's being described there. But then, how does it apply to me? What lesson can I derive from it? What instruction, what encouragement? So that's also there. So now another beautiful feature we saw in this verse is that Krishna is not sitting idly just practicing his vamshi or learning some new ragas on his murali, but he's actively decorating the kunja, the vibhushita. The phrase is very nice. It says, Hari vibhushita keli kunjam. Hari vibhushita. With his own hands, Krishna is personally decorating the kunja. And I was reading, and there's one, there's a bhajan. It's called it's a poem by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. It's called Nikunja Virudavali. Nikunja Virudavali. Virudavali, Virudavali. Avali means series of. Virudavali. Virudavali is a type of poetry, it's a type of meter in the poetry. And there's one by Rupa Goswami called Govinda Virudavali. And there's a few here and there. And his, Vishnu Chakravarti, it's all about Nikunja Leela, Nikunja Virudavali. And it's translated in English by several different devotees. And there you see, there's one description where describing this point, I meant to bring it, I forgot to bring that book. I got it out and I want to read that. I forgot. Maybe tomorrow. But there it's describing in his eagerness, and Krishna's own eagerness, what to speak about us, we should be eager for service. Krishna's eager to meet Radharani, and that eagerness to meet Radharani translates an eagerness to serve Radharani. So similarly, this is the point. Devotion is motivated and propelled by eagerness to attain love for Krishna. Eagerness. Why wait? As oftentimes many acharyas say, don't wait another life. Srila Prabhupada would say, don't wait another life. Get serious. Finish your business in this life. Attain Krishna Prema. Now. Krishna Prema. Now. It takes lifetimes, no doubt. I mean, that's the fact. But if we just surrender to that fact, then we may slip into complacency and then lose the cutting edge of progress. So it's a do or die situation, hope against hope. We should try our best, even though as 10 years go by, then 20 years go by, then 30 years go by, and 40 years, and say, wow, I thought it would come a little sooner. I thought perfection was right around the corner, maybe after 10 years. So then I ran for 10 years, and then, oh. Then as you go on, and then you read in Nectar Devotion, where Rupa Goswami is telling the Lakshana, the two characteristics of bhava and two characteristics of sadhana and two characteristics of prema, chapter 6 of Nectar Devotion. And he says two characteristics, one of bhava is sudurlabha, and Jiva Goswami comments on that in Bhakti Sandarbha. How rare it is for the sadhaka to attain bhava. It takes lifetimes. Of lifetimes of serious endeavor, like dead serious. So what to do? Don't start, don't try. A journey of 10 million steps starts with the first one. So, and we find also there's reward on the way. Every step we get a reward from Krishna. Yayatam mam prapadyante tam sataiva bhajamyaham. It's the reward which comes in the form of ras. It's called Bhakti Rasa Bhas. It's a semblance of or the reflection of true Bhakti Rasa, which is experienced at Bhava. We have a taste. We're getting a taste. We get a taste from living in the Dham. We get a taste from chanting, a taste from Parikrama. We get a taste from serving. And that drives us forward. If there wasn't there, then we would leave. Prabhupada often said when he met with reporters and people, professors, he said, I'm not paying any of these people. I'm not paying them to serve Krishna. I'm not paying them to serve Krishna. Why are they serving Krishna? And with so much endeavor, and so heartily, and so with so much their whole life energies. Because, and then Prabhupada said, ask them why they're doing what they're doing. So the reporter would often do that. So how long have you been here? Well, I've been here for 3 years. You know. So how do you like it? Oh, I really like it. So what is it about Krishna consciousness? Well, when you serve Krishna, you feel happy and you get, this is from Second Avenue, there's an interview like this with Garga Muni and others on the television from those days. He said, it makes you feel happy and you get so much enthusiasm. I mean, I've always been kind of lazy in my life, but now with the Swamiji, this idea of serving Krishna, I get pretty excited. Actually, I like to work day and night. I'm serving Krishna. So it makes you feel good. So the early days they were speaking like this. So it's a fact. Rasa is a flavor, a taste, an experience, a sentiment, a feeling. And we all know the mundane rasa is the prakriti rasa. The feeling of friendship, the feeling of love, the feeling of being protected by your parents, or the feeling of helping others, or being good to others. There's a feeling, a rasa, a sentiment. So that's the eagerness. So Krishna, he's decorating the kunj, personally decorating the trysting place where he'll meet Radharani. So in this bhajan I was mentioning by Vishnu Chakravarti, Nikunja Viradavali, he says that Krishna, in his eagerness to meet Radharani, he comes out of the kunja and he starts sweeping the pathway, the footpath leading to the kunja where he's going to meet Radharani. He gets some leaves from the branch and he starts sweeping it. And then he starts decorating the pathway. He like gets some garlands and he strings, like some people on Diwali, they put strings of lights across their rooftop and the front of their building like this. So Krishna makes garlands and he's stringing them on either side of the path to demarcate the footpath and decorate it like a pandal or a maidan. There's some wedding and they decorate the street with some canopies and some arches and banana trees and oh, something's going on here, and the street's decorated like that, then it turns like this and it goes into some wedding hall or whatever. So Krishna was decorating either side of the pathway leading to the kunj. He put garlands like this. He went like this. So Radharani's looking, oh, Krishna's decorated the entrance. He's what a nice welcome. And then when he's sweeping, but then he's leaving his footprints. So he doesn't want to leave it. This bhajan is describing Vishnu. He said he doesn't want to leave any footprints because Radharani may say, oh, what? There's Krishna's footprints. There's the Ashtakon and Jambu and Swastik, and there's the thunderbolt and goad. I can recognize the chinna. These marks on the ground, these are the chinna in Krishna's Padma chinna, the marks on Krishna's feet. So he doesn't want to, Radharani, to immediately understand it's him. She might think, oh, it must be a Vandevi, it must be a Ritu Devi, or some Sevite of Brinda Devi. Some Mandri has come and she's been told by Brinda Devi to decorate the footpath for Radharani, or for me, rather. And so Krishna, he goes and he decorates, and then he walks out of the kunj, he's putting all the garlands, and then he takes flower petals and he sprinkles, like some people, they sprinkle flower petals for some guru to walk from the temple to his car or whatever like that, or some exalted person. So everyone who's invited bhakti, they say, oh, look, they're offering this sprinkled flower petals for the guru. That's nice, worship and seva, this, that. But then the guru is in Rag Marg, he sees everything connected to Leela. So he sees, oh yeah, my seva is also like this. And to take flower petals and make a beautiful entrance way to the kunja, Radhakun for Radharani. So he sees that, and then the disciples are thinking, oh, Guruji must be so happy to see this flower petal path, and he's enjoying it, it must be fragrant with roses. And the guru doesn't not even thinking of that at all. He's he's just thinking of the Nitya Leela and rendering the same service, and how if he made the path, he put a design in the middle, the red rose petals, he put some design in the middle or whatever to make it even more attractive with different colored flowers. So the, everything has its different, everyone has atmanam manyate jagat. Everyone perceives the jagat according to the position of their mind. Atmanam manyate, their man. So where your bhav is and where your mind is and where your heart is, that determines your drishti. It's called bhav drishti. A lusty man sees the world full of lusty objects to enjoy, and a greedy man sees the world full of opportunities to exploit and make money. An angry man finds opportunities everywhere to have a fight. You cut my car off. Oh, you're cheating me in this. What, you're charging too much. He fights the Subjiwala. He fights on the roadway. He goes to buy some clothes. He fights the guy in the mall because he's an angry type. So everything angers him because of his degraded consciousness, his impure mind. One dosha or another. So this way, Krishna is decorating with his own hand, and that's quite something to think about. That Bhagavan is so much excited to serve Radharani. What to speak of ourselves? How excited we should be to serve Radharani. Krishna is setting the example himself. This Kunja Seva is very much a big seva for Vrindadevi and all the Sakhi Mandris, preparing the kunja, sweeping, cleaning, making garlands, preparing some betel nut and bringing fresh drinking water and setting a table there and some small pieces of cloth and some chandan. Many, many things are being prepared and put inside the kunja for the pleasure and seva of Radha and Krishna during their intimate pastimes. And that's done by the Sakhis and Mandris. But here, Krishna himself is personally showing the way and setting the example. Acharya. He's a Seva Acharya. Radharani Seva Acharya. Krishna is the Radharani Seva Acharya. He's the Acharya setting the achar, proper behavior of submissive, enthusiastic service for the pleasure of Radharani. Just like every mandri wants to engage in submissive, pleasurable service for the pleasure of Radharani. She submits to her Guru Sakhi and she submits to Rupa and Rati Mandri. It's called Sakhi Agya, Guru Agya. It's one of the symptoms of Ekadash Bhav, the 11 symptoms of the spiritual body. One of them is name and vesh and complexion. It's also Agya. You have a service, an order, Seva Agya, and you execute it per the wish of your Yuteshwari, your group leader, Alita, Vishaka, etc., Radharani, Krishna, or your Guru Sakhi. So he's doing all this. And now, what happens and what does Radharani feel like? Because Krishna is decorating the kunja in such a way that when Radharani enters the kunja with Rupa and Tulsi Mandri, Radharani is completely amazed. Earlier, I thought maybe a monkey. First of all, it is called the kunja. She's amazed because what kind of kunja is this? Because they have different kunjas. Some kunjas, they're just they. Oh, I think maybe it's a monkey. Could be. There's one up there. Are there monkeys coming? There's one back there. Monkeys want to get some action on the stage over here. Squirrels have action every day. That's a very exciting katastali, katastant. So Krishna's amazed because there's different types of kunjas, and some kunjas they play this pashakela. It's kind of there's a board, it's shaped like a cross. It's something like backgammon. There's a game card. Game with dice called, they have pieces and you move and then dice. It's called backgammon, but it's called pashkela. And then they roll the dice and they can make wagers and they move the pieces. And the board is shaped like this across. So they have kunjas where they go in and they play. They're play kunjas, they're sporting kunjas for that. But this is called keli kunj. different. There's Nikunj, Kali Kunj, many types of Kunjas. So this is called Kali Kunj, and Krishna is decorating the Kali Kunj. It says, Hari Vibhushita Kali Kunjam. So Kali Kunja means he's decorating it to induce and excite the mood of Kali, Rati Kali, which means intimate erotic love, conjugal love with his beloved Radha, lover and beloved. So when Radharani sees it, she's amazed because it's decorated by the very hands of her of that transcendental youthful Cupid of Vrindavan, Vrindavan Kandarpa Dev, or Kamadev. And then Radharani asks, oh! When Radharani sees all the beautiful flowers and fragrances and attractive designs everywhere, then she thinks, oh, Shyam, who has decorated this kunj? Pray tell. Do tell. And then it's Krishna. And so then Shyam, how affectionately Shyam helps Radharani onto her sitting place. And how much love he has in his heart as he sits under Radharani and takes her soft feet to his chest. And he said, oh, just see the submission. Because sometimes the lover, Krishna, becomes submissive to Radharani. And so when someone is very eager and anxious for something, then they'll be submissive. That's how parents control their children. If you want this, if you want this gift or you want this, then you have to do this. So then they submit. They become submissive because they want to get something and then their parents use that. So Krishna is very eager. He's very eager to win Radharani's favor and her love. So he's in a very submissive, Dakshin Bhav mood. This is the dear Prashant Nayak, very peaceful and submissive to Radharani. So when she comes, then he says, please come sit on your flower bed, which he made. And then he sits at Radharani's feet. Krishna sits there, Shyam sits there. Why? And then he says, oh, your feet must be so tired. You walk down the dusty path, it's so hot. You came in the midday, it's 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning. You walked all the way to Radhakund, your feet must be so tired. Let me press your feet, let me wash your feet. So Krishna's doing this seva. And can you imagine Narayan, Lord Vishnu, and Vaikuntha? One day he goes to Lakshmi, oh Lakshmi, please sit on this bed. Let me massage your feet. Impossible. Never happened. There's never a reversal of roles. He's always the controller, the enjoyer, and there's no question of that. So this is the beautiful scene that's being further elaborated here, that okay, once Radharani gets there, then what happens? And so this is what's being described. Oh, Ishvara, you come all the way here with these very soft, tender feet of yours. The ground of Braj is so hard. Then Krishna repeatedly looks at Swamini's lotus feet that are colored gray by the Braja Raj. And then Shyam washes Swamini's feet and dries them off with his yellow dhoti. So necessity is the mother of invention. So they didn't have any towels there, hand towels or foot towels. So he used, there's some water pitcher there for drinking water. It's cool, fragrant water there, provided by the Manjaris. And so Krishna took advantage of that. Nice, cool water. It was kept on the rooftop of the palace in Yavat by the Manjaris. And the full moon was shining on that clay pot, and making that water very, very cold. And then the next morning, then they put some fragrance, some essence, or some natural organic essences in there to give it some flavor. Sometimes kapoor, they scent the water with kapoor, which is also cooling, or some chandan, or some flower essences. And then they keep it in a clay jug, and they bring it like a flask or a thermos, they call it. And you go to school, and you have a little thing to keep your fluid, you know, like wherever that thing. Where is that thing? You saw that? Oh yeah, that thing. So it keeps water hot or cold. So they do like that, and then when they get there, they put it in a gold pitcher with jewels on the outside. So Krishna took advantage. Oh, very good. So he took that, and that refreshing, fragrant, cold water. Shyam is pouring it. He's holding Radharani's feet in his left hand, and he's pouring this water over. Then he's with his own hand, he's wiping the dirt off, then he dries. Of course, at that juncture, some mandri will come and hold a pitcher. So this is the meditation. Well, Krishna's going to hold a pitcher himself. I know he's going to hold Radharani's feet, or maybe one of the very intimate pran mandris will hold Radharani's feet, like Rupa Mandri. But Krishna is doing the seva, so as much as possible, the direct seva of Radharani's form or body, he will do at that time. But a mandri may hold a water pitcher and just pour exactly right amount of water and Krishna's washing Radharani's feet and drying them and pressing. Are your feet okay? Do you feel all right? And how do you think Radharani feels then? She's on the top of the world. Ah, yes. This is very good. Radha Dasyam. Krishna has become my kinkar. Ainanda Tanusha Kinkaram. So this is a very sweet scene. And then Radharani says to Krishna, the Sham, says, oh, then she's flattered by this humility of Krishna. She's so much grateful and appreciative of his arrangements to welcome her and to beautify the kunj, Hari Vibhushita Kali Kunjam, with his own hands, and it's been done so expertly and so attractively and satisfyingly. And so Radharani's in a very happy and sweet mood. So she said, oh, I can see, oh Sham, you love me so much. I could not do anything for you, but I have so many shortcomings. And there's so many, how many other qualified gopis are there here in Braj that could serve you so nicely? What can I do to possibly match the wonderful sevas that they can all do? And how could you leave all of those wonderful, talented, artistic ladies to come to me? I'm such an unfortunate one. So while Radharani's saying this, Shyam is just sitting at Radharani's feet, looking up at her face. And then then Krishna stands up and they embrace each other. So Rupa Manjari and Tulsi Manjari are just bathing in the sweetness of this meeting of Radha and Krishna in the Kunja. And they're staring, it says here, they're staring with unblinking eyes and drinking the beautiful sweetness of Yuga Kishore's divine meeting in the Kali Kunja of Vrindavan. So this is one of those Madharam Samapayat. And this Natya, Shastra, and drama, it says everything should end on a sweet note. So that'll be the end of today's class. A very sweet scene to leave off that broadcast from the spiritual world. There's YouTube and their tube. This is their tube. YouTube is you and your kirtan or your whatever pravachan or whatever you're doing or preaching about how to cook a cake or whatever. YouTube movie. Whatever. But this is their tube. The divine couple, Yugal. Radha Govinda Yugal. So that's the verse and that's the opener. That's the opening verse. The opening scene of the Madhyan Leela is that to have pastimes in Radhakund, you need players. The place is Radhakund, and who are the players? Who are the hero and heroine? Radha and Krishna. Well, now the hero and heroine met, and now the Leela can unfold and begin. So in each day, from verse 68 to 81, there are different sevas and pastimes going on at Radhakund, which we'll hear about in the context of the remaining, not very many days. Maybe 8 days until Ekadasi or so. Is it right? Yeah, about 8 days. Believe it or not, we've passed 3 weeks together. It says when you're having a good time, time flies. When you're suffering, time doesn't even move. It goes pretty slow. I know usually towards the end of Kartik, I've had the experience so many times, everyone starts feeling, oh, it's over already. And I wish Kartik would go on every year, every month. Every month was Kartik. Especially at Radhakund, if you're permanently living here, it's such a marked difference in the atmosphere, the depth of devotion and surrender and the mood and the feeling. It's really so much different. Because it's a very small place. There's only 15,000, it's not that small, it's a fairly big village, has a post office. there's 15,000 people here, and this one post office serves 50 villages around Radhakund. 50 villages are served by one post office, Radhakund. Actually more. There's 210 villages, because I once got some BTGs, and Hindi BTGs, I wanted to get a subscription for the, you know, to give to all the villages, to the panchayat. And then I went to the post office and I said, how many villages do you serve? I wanted to get the post office addresses of Mukurai and, you know, Kanai and Anjak, all these different villages. And they said, well, 212 villages in this area are under this post office. It's a lot. So there's small villages, 200, 300. This is actually Radhakund. You may think it's small, but it's very, very big. The next post office, Govardhan is the post office, Radhakund, and next one is Nandagram or Barsana, if they have one. And lots of villages. So then I got, so I said, where do I send the BTGs? He said, you have to get, you get them all here. So then they sent 220 BTGs here. And then from there, then they take them, their local people take them to the villages. So it's a small place. So the reason I'm saying that, Radhakund is very small. And then during Kartik, 5,000 Bengalis come here, Yatris, which is a lot. And then so many other devotees come from foreign countries. And the whole atmosphere, you just feel the change. Vrindavan is a big city now. So you can't really tell the difference. Oh, now it's Kartik. It's, every day is too many people. Every day is too many cars, too much noise, too much passion. You don't even know, is it Kartik? Is it January, February? You don't know what month it is or whatever it is. It's that's my experience these days. But here, it's a really big change. So we miss too much.